So I just wanted to explain a little bit what we're getting into in the next couple weeks here, in the next 6 weeks we have together. We were kind of throwing around different ideas, and Sandy and I weren't really like pulled to a certain specific book of the Bible that we should be teaching through. And so I got this idea, it may have been the Lord speaking, and I thought, okay, this is what I think you should do. They see my ideas for her to do. And I was thinking, gosh, it would be great for you to do your favorites. Hi. And so I was thinking, you know, like the best of, or her favorite things, or things that maybe she wants us to know that maybe she had taught about beforehand, that like the best of Sandy or something like that. I thought it would just be kind of a cool thing. And so she was thinking, huh. And come to find out that she is only able to be here 3 times. But she said, let's run with it. So I'm on that bed. Now I have to do what my great plan was. I have to do it too. So kind of backfired. So with that being said, so each week is going to be something different. It's not like a progressive Bible study. So tonight we're going to be doing a study through prayer. And if you were here last session, God has just impressed on my heart to pray. And we're living in crazy times. And it just seems like if there's going to be a problem, someone's having it right now. And it just, we have so many things to be praying diligently about. And so that's what we're going to get into tonight. But before we get started, I just have 2 announcements. So homework, you're going to grab it. You will all grab it because Sandy wants you to. Grab it on the way out, and that is for you to do. So don't skip it. Don't skip it. And then also, how many of you are going to retreat? Oh, okay, well, I am too. Okay, well, this is a good turnout. So if you have not yet signed up for retreat, the theme of the retreat is called Basic Training. And this is, Sandy is going to be teaching it. God has given her messages that are the basics of our faith. Getting back to the basics, what we ought to know. She wants to leave us with like the basics, and I think that is so important. There's going to be workshops offered this year. I think we're going to have a Saturday morning, like because it's basic training. We're going to have like a walking group, and then also a running group, and we might have some other activities planned. I'm not quite sure, but they're all optional. We aren't going to make you do anything, it'll be just a fun weekend. It's May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, for those of you that don't know or haven't heard me already say that 1,000 times. And if you haven't yet signed up, you will pay more online. But if you sign up tonight, here, before you leave, it's $160. And that is Friday night, all day Saturday, and Sunday morning. And that gets you all of your meals during that time, all of the teaching, and your lodging. It's out at Marietta Hot Springs in the Calvary Chapel Bible College. Also, we have now worked out an option two for you. For those of you that cannot get out there for the whole weekend, we have a day option for you, and it's all day Saturday. This is the first time we've been able to do this. It is all day on Saturday. Allison, is that day option, does that include breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Yes, it's on Saturday. Yeah.
So you can hightail it out there and make it for breakfast if you want to. But that is all the teachings. That's the meat of the whole retreat. And so there is a morning session, a night session. There is workshops in there, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So, and that is available to you for $80. And so you want to sign up for that today or very soon. That would be awesome. All right. So lately, I have been doing a study. I'm teaching and studying up on the theme in his presence. And God has just been, you know, kind of wrestling with him, like, what does it mean to be in your presence? What do we get in your presence? What do you get when I'm in your presence? And so he really was speaking to me that in his presence, I get a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. And I thought, that is a great, and prayer is a really good vehicle for that to happen. I know that the Holy Spirit can come upon us when we're worshiping through song or when we're reading the Bible. I mean, the Holy Spirit can fall upon us whenever he wants to. But I believe that prayer is such a great vehicle to get into the Lord's presence. And when we engage in patient prayer, a Holy Spirit exchange happens. And so that's what my heart was, that's what my heart is for tonight, is to really engage with his presence and receiving that Holy Spirit through prayer. How many of you believe that prayer is effective? You know it. I mean, we all do. There's not one person. We know that prayer is effective. And as I was thinking about, you know, the people of the Bible and who prayed and what were some effective prayers, I thought of, obviously, Abraham. And Abraham prayed for his nephew Lot, right? And he had the audacity. I mean, I think that that's kind of like how we need to come in before our God, is with the audacity to ask for this. And, you know, I think that God wants us to come boldly into his throne room. He's our dad. My kids ask for outrageous things. Outrageous. So when we come boldly into his throne room, we need to have the audacity to ask him for such great things that only he can do. Only he can do. He's the one. So there, Abraham intercedes for his nephew Lot, and he like goes from 50 to 40 to 30, and he works his way down, and finally, you know, God's like, okay, and you know, and saves Lot. And I think that his prayer was effective. His prayer was effective. Moses prayed for the Israelites quite a few times, but one prayer really stands out to me is when they had made the golden calf. While he was up face to face with God, he came down and God wanted to destroy them all. And Moses was like, you know, filled with compassion and was like, please God, like save them, blot me out of the book of life. Can you imagine praying, having such a heart for whatever it is that you're praying for, to say that, to ask and offer yourself that? I just think Abraham and Moses, they had that common thread of what they were praying for was so heartfelt that they were like, gonna, like, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. there's so many other people that prayed in the Bible, but I'm going to leave them out for time's sake. But there was Jesus who prayed for his disciples. And then he prayed for those that were his followers. And that means you and me. Like, I feel like he had us in mind when he was praying for us. And his prayer was that we would have unity with the Father and that he would keep us. And that we would be one with the Father. And we have that because Jesus prayed for that. And I just think, I want to have a prayer life that's effective. And I feel like in order for me to have an effective prayer life, I need to be praying what the Holy Spirit wants me to pray, right? And so I believe that God can do extraordinary things in our lives and in our world by means of prayer. Oftentimes I feel like, well, I don't know, like, what can I do about that? I'm not friends with anyone in government. I'm not very eloquent. I don't know how to say or make a case for that. But you know what? I can pray. So why don't you open up your Bibles to Matthew 25, and we're going to read about the 10 virgins. Thank you. Okay, Matthew 25. We're going to start in verse 1. Almost there? Okay. Then the kingdom, then the king, and this is Jesus, red letters speaking. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should be not enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So here we have 10 virgins, and there is 5 that are foolish and 5 that are wise. And that word foolish means dull and stupid, and as if shut up. And I was thinking of, like, you know, maybe like a Tupperware. You can't put anything in because it's shut up. You know, and that's how maybe their minds were, or how their lives were. They were just shut up to any wisdom or any good direction or suggestions into their lives. They were heedless. And then there were the 5 that were wise. And these wise ones made good decisions and they were prepared. And because of their being prepared, they were richly rewarded. And so in this parable, there's a few things that we need to define, and so we're going to spend some time defining what these things are, what these symbolize. And the first one is oil. And what is the oil? Does anybody have any idea what the oil might be? The Holy Spirit. That's right, the Spirit of God. And so when I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of, like, you know, what are the fruits of the Holy Spirit? I think of, you know, this Holy Spirit, obviously, though, was the source of light for their lamps. It was the source of power behind the light, behind the lamp. And so that is in real for us. This Holy Spirit oil fuels our lives. And so the lamp, I'm thinking the lamp is a symbol for our lives. And so if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our lives is what illuminates light in the dark world. How we behave, how we act, how we talk, what we do. That is the lamp. And then this Holy Spirit oil, it's kept, it says, in vessels. And I was thinking about, like, our heart is a little vessel, and it's like the temple of God. Like, our bodies are a temple, and it that's where the Holy Spirit resides. And so it's our heart, it's our bodies. This is where the Holy Spirit is housed, in our vessel. And we know from this parable that the possession of this oil, the possession of this Holy Spirit oil, brings much wisdom, and much wisdom, consequently, aids itself to making good decisions. And I know that when my kids had Miss Krieger over at Pocahontas campus, she said, good choices end in good results all the time. And it was so cute. As 5-year-olds, my kids were saying that. And it was just brilliant. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. The absence, though, of this oil makes one's heart dark, right? One's lamp darken. Sad, unready. It makes you unprepared. to not have oil, to not have this Holy Spirit oil. It causes just a little bit of life, a little bit of light, joyless, stale, and flat. Do you know many Christians that are like that? I mean, truly, that's me on a bad day. I mean, I am a little bit of light, little bit of life, joyless, flat, stale. And so we all can get here, right? But, and that's why it's so important to keep our vessels filled with this oil. And we know from this parable, though, that this Holy Spirit oil cannot be shared. I can't share mine with you. You can't share yours with me. We could talk about the Holy Spirit. We could talk about just what the Holy Spirit did or what it felt like and just how we were used and the, you know, this the experience. We could talk about it all we want, but I can't give you any of mine. I just can't. And even if I wanted to, I can't. And so in this story, in this parable, it says that this oil is light-giving, it's life-giving, it illuminates the way. And I love how if we take time to be in patient prayer, we can encounter the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will fill us, will fill our vessels. And that is kind of where we tap into the plans of God, I think. And that's where he will start leading and guiding us into the prayers that he wants us to pray, the ones that are effective. And he reveals things to us as well through his Holy Spirit. One other thing, who's the bridegroom?
Jesus.
He is the bridegroom. And I know that we know that it isn't just enough to believe Jesus, in Jesus, right? We know it's not, because in James 2:19 it says that even the demons believe, right? They believe, they know who Jesus is, but they haven't made him their Lord and Savior, right? So as Christ followers, we have made him our Lord and Savior, and with that decision, with that acceptance, he then gives us the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. It happens, it's a one-time deal, like it's done, and the Holy Spirit seals the deal, and we are forever Christ's. And that's what we get through our bridegroom. We get the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 9, it talks about how we should go to the one who sells this oil. And I was thinking, well, I don't know, who sells that oil, you know? And and so I think it's God the Father. God the Father gives us the Holy Spirit through his Son, Jesus. And so where do we go to buy this oil? We go to the market. We just go to the oil market, the marketplace of prayer. And so, and that's where it goes. And then this marketplace of prayer, it's always open. It's open 24/7, just like 7-Eleven. And it is everywhere, like Starbucks. Okay, it is everywhere. No one can make you not pray. You know, and when you go into this prayer, you can ask him for anything at any time. And you know what? He will listen to you at any time. Even when I was thinking about it, you know, not many people just listen to me, you know, like my kids, I think, well, you just listen to me. And you know what? God listens to us and he hears us. Sometimes we feel like he doesn't, but he does. He hears us. This marketplace is open all the time. In Mark 11:24, it says, "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." If we are asking according to his will. And, you know, and we could be bobbing along and we are like, when we stop and we're like, oh Lord, I need your Holy Spirit. It's immediate. We are immediately in his Spirit. We don't have to like work our way there. We don't have to read a certain amount of chapters in the Bible or be clean for a certain amount of days. It is immediate. All we have to do is call upon him enter into that marketplace of prayer and call upon him, and he is there immediately. Luke 11, 9 through 13, paraphrase says, So I say to you, ask, seek, knock, and it will be given, found, and opened. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? All we have to do is ask. I need you, Holy Spirit. Will you fill me? Because I want to lead an extraordinary life. I see this world, and I know that it's not right. And I know that I need his help in order to navigate through it all and to be effective. And we can only do it with the Holy Spirit. So we ought to be asking for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit daily, ladies, daily. We cannot go on yesterday's Holy Spirit or yesterday's or last week's, altar call experience. It was amazing. We can't. Today's a different day. And I just think of the manna that all the Israelites would get, and they would collect just enough for that day. And if they got too much, it would rot. We can't. We have to go on today's filling of the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit oil is the best quality. You know, I don't know if it's extra, 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 extra virgin. I'm not quite sure. But it is the best. You know how, I don't know. They have, this is the best quality. It is free, and there's one of a kind. There's no other Holy Spirit oil that's going to do what you need him to do. There's no other Holy Spirit oil that can be as effective as him. And but what happens when you don't make it to the market? I mean, have you ever, started making something, and you're like, I don't have any eggs. Jude, can you go to the neighbors and go borrow an egg? I feel like sometimes when I go throughout my day and all of a sudden I flesh out and I am like being bad girl, and I realize it dawns on me, oh, I didn't spend some time in patient prayer, still at the Lord's feet. I often wonder, I wonder if this would have happened if I had really emptied myself out before the Lord and gotten filled with his Holy Spirit. I'm not sure. I mean, we never know, but I think maybe our chances are better if we do sit at his feet. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says that we don't want to extinguish or quench the Holy Spirit. We want to have that be a clear conduit of what the Holy Spirit wants to do through us and in us and around us. And we don't want to have that or be that spiritual cholesterol, slowing things down, quenching things out. And it's interesting, it says two verses before that, it says in verse 19, it says, pray without ceasing. Isn't that kind of interesting? More prayer, according to this, more prayer will keep us from quenching the Holy Spirit. And it's time to surrender to the ongoing pursuit of the Holy Spirit now. There is no waiting. The time to do it is now. And for those of us that do, God bless you, those of us that do like to buy this Holy Spirit oil, we want to be repeat buyers. It isn't this one-time deal. Yes, it's the one-time deal that we get the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus and our fate is sealed. We are his. Okay, that is a one-time deal. You don't have to keep going and accepting Jesus as your Savior over and over and over. He's like, I got it. You got me. We're good. But we need to be repeat buyers of this Holy Spirit oil daily. We need to have a fresh filling. But when I go shopping in the marketplace of prayer, I get so distracted, right? Am I alone? I get distracted. I know you do too. It's kind of like going to Costco and you have your thing you need to buy and there's samples and there are deals and then you got your husbands and then you can't find your kids and it's just crazy. And that is sometimes my prayer life. It is just insane. And I start out, and I think I have my list, and I'm going to do this, and then I just get so sidetracked, and then I don't even get to what's really burdening my heart, or never make it to where God wants me to go in prayer. So we need to be purposeful when we go into the marketplace of prayer. We need to be purposeful, and I find that lists work with me. I mean, maybe something else you find works with you, but I need a list. And I feel like, and so here we see this Holy Spirit oil is absolutely free. You know, it doesn't cost us anything. We don't have to do all these good works in order to get it. And, you know, depending on what God's plans are for us, he doesn't say, okay, I'm going to give you a lot of the Holy Spirit today, but you, you're just going to get little. Like, I don't think he's up there doing that. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a person. It's ours. He fills us, and we are powerful, and that's that. But on the other hand, I was thinking about how this Holy Spirit oil can be costly. It's going to cost you something, and it might not cost money or good works, but it might cost you something that you place some sort of value in, especially if that something you hold closer than God himself, or that is keeping you from entering into where he wants you to go. A lot of times for me, it's time. Time is valuable to me. And I'm like, okay, I got this much time, and that's what I'm gonna, and can you fit it all in there? And he's like, who are you? You know, why are you telling me what, you know, I need to sacrifice my time. I need to make time to spend with the God of the universe, my maker, the one who, the Holy Spirit. I'm asking him to do all these great and mighty things, but I can't give him time, you know? It might cost us our plans, our routine. I'm like bent on my routine. It might cost us our routine. It might cost you your breakfast or your coffee. It might cost you your workout. We need to budget for prayer. We need to budget for this time of patient sitting at his feet prayer. We need an envelope for it, if those of you that are in Dave Ramsey. We might need to like schedule daily trips to the market. We need to put it on the calendar. Maybe you need a prayer partner. Maybe you need a prayer app, like that Echo prayer we had talked about beforehand. There are so many things. Maybe it, just that accountability partner. Okay, well, call tonight and see if I prayed. You know, it's hard. It's hard to institute new habits. I get it. It's hard. But we need to just do it. We need to lay down those things that we think are so important, those passions, those possessions, those positions, anything that keeps us from entering into his presence through prayer. They must go. And no wonder only half of the virgins were wise. Because it costs a lot. Wisdom, it costs a lot. They were, the ones that were foolish were caught up doing their own things. Like I am so often. I'm just caught up doing my own things. Or how many times did I set out in prayer and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I think I need to clean the refrigerator out. Or something, you know, that just steers me right away from being in prayer. But we being wise enter that marketplace. And there we empty ourselves out of all that's on our hearts. That patient prayer, it takes a little while to give the Lord all of what he, first of all, is due, and also empty our hearts out before the Lord of ourself, of our needs, our wants, our petitions, our praises, our thanks, our confessions, our fears. And the more that we are pouring out before the Lord and emptying out before the Lord, that is just making room for more of the Holy Spirit inside of our vessels, doesn't it? I mean, sometimes I'll get done praying, you just feel like, empty and still and satisfied and full and ready. You're just, it's not that grrr, that anxiety, panicky feeling of like, okay, what can I do to like shove this down? So we need to make room for that big fill. And that's what I meant by like that Holy Spirit exchange. We give him all of what's filled our heads and our hearts, and we give it to him, and he then in turn exchanges it for a filling of the Holy Spirit, this transaction that happens. We may have all the best intentions going into prayer, and it can take far more time than anticipated to do that exchange. Sometimes it just takes a long time. Sometimes I leave prayer and I'm like, okay. And I know that there wasn't much of an exchange that happened. But to get well into the marketplace where the oil is being sold takes time. And to get my money ready to do that exchange, to empty myself and my pockets, all of that stuff with him takes time. And to get my vessel well filled takes time. And it reminded me of when I go to, when I'm in a hurry and I look down and my light's on in my car and I need gas. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but I have to get there so fast, but I need gas. And so I go to the gas station. I put like $2 in to go like 4 miles. And so I go, and then I'm going to have to go to the gas station. But just like, I just need a little bit of gas to get me where I need to go. And that's sometimes I feel like that's what I'm doing with God Almighty. And I am satisfied with less than what he wants me to have. I'm settling for second best. He wants me to have a huge, he wants to fill me. And so we need to make allowances for the obstacles, the accidents, for the interruptions, for the delays. Some of them have names, Cole, Jackson, Jude. But our text said that those foolish virgins, they eventually came. They eventually made it to the wedding, but the door was shut. And so just is a really a picture of we need to be in prayer now. We need to be in his presence. We need to be filled up with this oil so that we can navigate in prayer to what he wants us to be praying about. Because there's always something, but what is it that he really wants me to be praying about? Where does he want to take me? And there is an urgency. J. Vernon McGee says, many have lost their sense of urgency, but the cry will soon go forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. In 2 Peter 1:10, it says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And I'm telling you right now, one of those ways is to be on our knees in patient prayer. And the time is now. And I was thinking of, I don't even remember what store this commercial was, but they're on tapping on the glass, open, open, Mervyn's, open, 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 open. And that's how we should be like in that prayer. We should open our eyes and think, oh, I gotta pray, and just be like, wake up in prayer. I mean, that's what he wants. That's what we should have to have an effective life as Christ followers.